All right. Again, I was having a hard time getting logged in. I do not understand what Zoom is doing today. I play them a pretty penny for this account. You would think they would be like smoother on the draw. All right. Welcome, everybody. It's maintenance day. So we are talking all things maintenance. If you want coaching, you need to raise your hand to get coached. And we'll start with Stephanie. Yeah, there we go. And I will coach anyone who needs help. If you have questions, just pop them in the Q&A. We will have an hour of glory. Unless we don't have anybody else who needs to be coached other than Stephanie, and then we don't have to have an hour of glory. We'll have Stephanie glory. All right, what you need help with?
Well, I had to tell you that since the last time we talked, I shit my pants at work. And instead of just, being angry or mortified by it, I just thought of you and band, and I'm like, this just happens, and this is all right. And it's so funny, the more people I told about it, the more they were like, oh yeah, that's happened to me too. I'm like,
Yeah.
wait a second. Even my boss, I'm like, wait a second. Is this just something that happens and nobody talks about it?
I
It
think
was.
that's what it is because it's like we need to like make shitting in your pants normal again or something. It's just like so many people do it. Like all of my friends have done. I don't even know if I know anyone in my family that hasn't done it. I think Chris is the only person I know literally who's not done it. And I was teasing him last night because he never toots, like in front of me at least. And we've been married a long time. And I finally just, of course, I'm over there blowing like a horn last night. So I'm stressed out about, the Florida Tennessee game. And dinner is like, I don't even know. All I had was salmon and broccoli. And I was just gassy. And I was like, do you know you never toot except for when you sleep? And when you sleep, it's coming out both ends. Your horn's blowing through your mouth and your horn's blowing through your butt. And he's like, well, it's not on purpose. So, anyway.
Well, I have two things that I would like coaching on that are related. And I do have like a lot of self-judgment about one of them. And so I'm just forewarning, and everyone just know that where my heart is, I really want to get help solving this. One of the main reasons why I like to binge or overeat is joy and pleasure. And so working on joy and pleasure, other things that can help. I started back at the gym exercising, and then that has been wonderful. And then I wasn't getting my period back after breastfeeding, and I thought, it was because I was breastfeeding, that's why I wasn't getting a period. I went and talked with a fertility specialist because we want to have another baby, and he said, to pull back on exercise a bit. And so that's one of the things that's been really hard for me because it brings me so much joy and stress relief. And then the other part of it is I thought also that like my and if anyone has little kids, this is about to get personal. So put your earphones in. This is something I really want to work on. It has been bothering me. I thought that stopping breastfeeding, that would help my sex drive come back, and I would be more interested in having like intimacy and touch with my spouse, and I just don't. And I really want to cultivate that, and I can't intimacy, it doesn't have to be sex, but that is also like a joy, pleasure. And I just don't, I'm not attracted to him physically. And I love my husband. I love him. Please know that, everybody. That's why I'm here. And I really want to be physically attracted to him and be
Why do you
interested.
want to be, but if you're not, why do you want to be physically attracted?
So that I'll be interested in having to being intimate again.
So you think if, well, did you used to be attracted to him and physically when y'all were having sex, or like what has changed there?
Yeah, so when we first met, he was going to the gym a lot and he had a lot of confidence, and then since then he hasn't been doing that, and his confidence has decreased. I've made time, we got a gym membership for him. We switch off childcare so that he has an opportunity to go to the gym, and then he just, doesn't take the opportunity. And so he's changed a bit.
Can
And
I just interrupt you? Will you do me a favor and just speak freely and not try to speak? I feel like you're trying so hard to not say something either that would offend someone, or I feel like you're very guarded the way you're talking. If you feel comfortable enough, I just think it would be easier if you just said what you really feel instead of trying to say it in a way that doesn't. I don't know. I guess you could be assuming that, like, 'cause you've said a couple times, please don't get offended. Please don't whatever. Look, I don't care if they do get offended. That's their own business. So I'm going to tell everybody in the chat, if for any reason anybody is having any thoughts or opinions about her, you're not allowed to put it in the chat. Keep it to yourself. So that's number one. Number two is I don't think anybody's going to get offended. I think a lot of
Okay.
us feel this. I, if it will make you feel better and help you talk more freely, I love my husband and we have a lot of sex, but I judge his body all the time. And I'm always like, if I told him the other day, and I said it like this, I was like, you know, if you would start working out, you'd look really good. And he said, well, do I not look good? And I said, I'm gonna be real honest. I said, one of us looks like we work hard and one of us doesn't. But you can not like how somebody looks and all that kind of stuff and not be a bad person.
Okay, thank you.
Like, that doesn't make you a bad person. That just makes you honest. And that just is like, this is my cup of tea. You know, like my cup of tea is a lot more muscular than what my husband's toting around right now. So, okay. Just tell me
So,
your like honest feelings and what you most want coaching on.
yeah, and that's, I mean, as far as getting the most, because the exercise stuff, I'm working through it, but this, it really is a quality of life for not just me. And my hesitation really is because, again, I feel bad about saying that, and because I love him, and I just feel so, like, I don't know, guilty, and I feel bad about saying that I'm not physically attracted to him. And when we first met, he looked different and I was drinking a lot more, and I just, so sex didn't, now it's very sober and he looks different now. And so
So you're getting the real experience now. That's what's changed is before, you know, drunk sex is always different than sober sex, number one, because when you're drinking, you are just having a different experience because the logical brain is turned off, other senses and stuff like that are. And he's physically changed and you've noticed. Like, I just want you to think about if the only thing that you were thinking about this situation is it's normal to have different thoughts about someone when they physically change. It's different having sex sober because now I hear what I really think.
Yeah.
And none of that makes me bad.
Okay.
Because I don't think there's anything we can do to help you until we really can dissect why you feel so guilty for having these thoughts instead of just, it's just normal. I mean, I look at my child a lot and like my brain thinks all kinds of things about him. He's got a space in his teeth, and I often think, like, man, it's not an attractive space. You didn't get that from my side of the family. I should have put him in braces a long time. Like, I think stuff like that. And then I also think, like, Logan could give a fuck. Logan doesn't even hardly like to wash his hair. He's for sure not going to wear Invisalign for a year. I mean, but I don't think of that as me being a bad mother. I just think of that as like humans judge, and that is how we are. And what would make you a bad person is if you bulldozed into the bedroom tonight and said, "No sex until you lose weight and shape up, fatty." That would make you a bitch, but you're
Yeah.
not doing that. You're sitting here saying, "I want to get coached. I want to be intimate with this man, and I love this man." And it's like all of that can be true, and you could not like his body. And that doesn't make you bad. So when I
Thanks.
say that, what comes up? Like, does it feel true, or does it feel like, yeah, right, or no, I really am a bad person because, or
Well, I'm in a way have, I mean, for other reasons too, because I can't bring myself to have sex with them, and I haven't been. I can't. We haven't had sex in a long time, and I don't want to have sex if I'm like just doing it to make him happy. It feels really uncomfortable. I've done that before, and it feels really uncomfortable, and
Let me
yeah.
ask you, when you say though you want to be having sex with him, why would you be doing it only for him? Like, I guess what I don't understand is, it sounds like you don't want to just have sex to be having sex. Like, you actually want it too. The only thing stopping you is, I don't have visual attraction to him. Are there other things that are stopping you?
Yeah, I mean, again, he kind of lost his confidence. He was a lot more confident before too, which is understandable now that he, but confidence is also attractive, and so, but there's nothing else there. I mean, I do have a sex drive. It's just I don't want to have sex that feels not consensual almost. It just feels like, because your body doesn't respond, and then it's not enjoyable. And
Well, let's break that down. What would make it non-consensual?
because I don't want to.
Okay. And you're totally right now doing that. And he's not making you, and you're not making you. And if you did decide, like, I think we just want to just keep pulling this apart on just like what is true and what is like. You've got a story around it, and we just kind of want to pull out the parts and kind of be with them for a little bit. Because I don't think you're going to leave this call and be like, "Wham, bam, let's go. I'm ready." Friend turned on the faucet. So what we can do is we can pull the story apart some, and then also I believe this Tuesday is Lisa's sex and body image call. We might actually try to go to that too. She's an expert in this area, not just in having sex, but all of the feelings and the emotions and the things that stand in the way of us being able to truly connect. So you're not having non-consensual sex right now. Okay. And if you did decide to have sex, it may feel non-consensual, but it would be because you decided to do it for reasons that you don't love. But it wouldn't be non-consensual. It just wouldn't be like, if he was more confident and he looked different, then I would be able to think these things and I would have more fun. And I think that's more of what's happening. And just reminding yourself of that.
Okay.
Like, okay, I'm still in control of this. It's just the situation isn't what I want. So I need to pull all that apart about what I want, what I don't want, things like that.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Why do you need physical attraction and confidence? I'm trying to think of how I want to ask this. So I want to ask you a good question, not just a off my cuff question. Well, let's just start there. Why do you need those things in order to enjoy sex?
I mean, I don't have like a desire to have sex. The desire is not there when I'm not physically attracted to someone.
Or you haven't learned how to desire in this new way.
Okay.
So the reason why I present that thought is because I think we just kind of decide, because you keep telling me how much you love him. Like, I really love him. If you're not, so are you going to leave him over this, you think?
No.
Okay, so we're staying. So much so that I'd like to have another baby with him. Which means at some
Yes.
point I won't have to get over attraction and confidence because I'd like another baby. Okay. All right. So it's very consensual for you. It's just more along the lines of it's hard for me to have sex when I have decided that attraction must include confidence and physicality. So that's what I think right now is squelching my desire, which is good to know. Because I don't think we're going to be able to change him. And that's why we want to kind of work on what is the best outcome for you to where you don't feel like you're just having sex to be having sex. Like, how do we get you to this new place of, I really want to have sex and I want to enjoy it. And I'm also married to a man who doesn't have a lot of confidence and, for lack of a better word, has let himself go or doesn't look the way he used to. So we have to build from there because you said, I do love him and I want to be in this marriage. I actually want to be having sex. And now I've got to solve the problem of how do I increase my desire or change my definitions or reworks or make these things less important and see other things to see if that affects my desire. Because it may or may not. But at least it puts you on the track of working on the right problem. Because it's really easy to think his body and lack of confidence, that's our problem. Instead of the real problem is my brain thinks that I can't desire him unless those things are happening. Now, what comes up for you when I say all that?
Yeah, that's why I'm here. I would love to hear how what that looks like. Just
We got
some
to pull
ways.
that out of your mind.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to go to the land of, all right. How, if he never, if his body just got worse, which y'all are getting older, so odds are he ain't going to look great. I mean, he could maybe lose weight or whatever, but I look at Chris, I look at me, I was looking at me today, and I'm like, as hard as I work, we ain't doing nothing but going downhill now. Like, I mean,
That's not true. You
my
look
job is to slow it
fantastic.
down. Yeah, but I gotta slow it down because every day I look in the mirror and I'm like, holy shit, there's like three more creepy lines. Where were
Oh.
you yesterday? And I'm like slathering oil all over me. All right. So if we were going to, what all could you, right now, you believe about this man that makes him incredibly sexy? And we can't, it's not confidence and it's not looks, but there's something about him that either is sexy or attractive enough to where you don't want to leave him. And you want to figure out how to have sex with him and more babies. So
Yeah.
what's that?
He's very smart, very intelligent. He loves me so much.
Yeah, that's sexy. I mean, a man that really loves you, that's a panty dropper right there. I'm telling you. And my husband's a smarty. So fucking smart. Like Chris is like a legit certified genius. He's in the top 1%. And I've told people a thousand times, like, there's no woman. He's not gonna walk down the street and no woman is gonna be like, woo, I wanna get my hands on that. I do. Like all of it. But I am thinking about like if I had to be with someone who was muscular, tanned and tatted, and had hair. And those kinds of things, I'd be really depressed. So I've spent my entire relationship with that man falling madly in love with everything he naturally does that I can fall in love with. And what it does is it leaves room for me to be so focused on all the things that are amazing about him. And so that the few things that I'm just like, you know. I wish you were Shamar Moore, whatever that was. It's not like, and I have to have these things too. It's like I've made peace with, I know I don't need all of that. I would love it. It might be more fun. But if I have all this, I've made some space for, this gets to be a lot of fun. If I make this stuff more important than this stuff. So he loves you and he's super smart and he loves you a lot. Like when you say it, I can tell. Like you are one of the rare women in the world who gets to be with a man that you have no doubts loves you deeply. And that is very rare. You're probably in the 10% of women worldwide. Now, what else about him?
He's a great father. He's really talented. He can pick things up quickly and
Okay, this is what I want you to do now. Now I want you to describe him to me in such a way that my panties would drop for him. Because you're describing him really like not like he's filling out an application at McDonald's. Very talented. He can pick up the burger flipping real quick.
He's tall, which I like. He's got really icy blue eyes. He is very smart and funny, and I could take him anywhere, and he would make friends with anybody. He's very loyal.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If I took that away, but I got his ass in the gym and he got muscular, he fixed his body to the way you think it should look, and he was real confident. He had his swagger back, but we had to remove that other stuff. Now, what's happening in your sex life? He's no longer a good dad. He's not a great husband anymore. He's not funny. He walks into a room and nobody gives, they think he's arrogant because he's got too much confidence. Now what?
I mean, just coming from a place of not having sex in a long time, I probably would be having more sex, but I'd be very unhappy.
Okay, that's good to know. So I would be having sex and the rest of my life I would be miserable.
Yes.
Okay. And so right now you're like, I'm not having much sex, but I'm not having any sex, but the rest of my life is pretty good. Okay. Now we just got to get to the part to where we can say, I need to figure out why being attracted to him physically is a deal breaker for me. What do you make it mean that he's not as physically fit as he used to be?
I mean, he We're speaking freely here.
Yes, we are.
And I know what it's and yeah, I know what it's like to have sex with someone who is ripped, really attractive, and it's just a lot more fun. It's just like something
What are
I,
you making,
yeah.
but what are you making it mean that he's not physically fit anymore? What are you making it mean about him? And what are you making it mean about your relationship?
I just find discipline really sexy too, and to me, being disciplined about your body and caring about, being strong and like I see strength as so much bigger than just the way that it looks, but it's also like protection for the family and like I could walk down a dark street and feel really like
So right now, if you
safe
walk down
and
a dark street with him, you feel like he just couldn't, he'd have to just fall down to the ground and be like, well, I mean, I haven't been lifting weights. I can't help you.
I don't know. I mean, you would try.
All right. So that's good for you to see. Like your brain has like created this imaginary story that he's weak. Like he can't protect me anymore.
Yeah.
And we want to question that because that's why you're having a block. It's not because he ain't in the gym, honey. It ain't
Yeah.
because he ain't got a six pack anymore or whatever was going on back then. The only thing that made sex fun with a ripped person is the thoughts you had while you were having sex. Because there
Yeah.
are dickheads in the world. Like, I would love for you to come to Nashville. Let me get, I will go to our gym and there's really good looking guys up in there. We got some meatheads in my gym. Who were complete with the one of them's nickname is literally Dickhead because he goes to our bar and hangs out there. And he has been through four wives since I've lived in Nolensville, married and divorced four times. But I bet the sex is good because he keeps getting wives and he's ripped. But that's why they're having a good time because
Yeah.
they're only thinking about this one piece. So it's just really important for you to see that. So let's. Your brain is conflated. And when I asked you, would you be in harm's way? If somebody broke into your house right now, would he just fall on the couch because he's out of shape? Or would he fight tooth and nail to protect y'all?
Yeah, he would fight.
Okay. So he would be a fighter instead of, well, I don't know, like, I just want you to entertain the idea that some of what you've You're making things mean, may not actually be true. Your brain's filling in a story for you and it's blocking you from feeling attracted to him because it's not the body, it's what the body's resume. You've also said he's not disciplined. I've rarely met anyone that doesn't go to the gym where it's a lack of discipline. There's almost always other things going on that makes someone not go. Is he tired? Like, what is his reasons for not going?
He was staying late at work.
So in his mind, I just want you to try this on for a minute. In his mind, staying at work was actually what keeps his family safe because it allows him to keep his job and it allows him to provide, which is usually a very big man thing. And you're like, no, you need to go to the gym. You need to quit doing the safe stuff. You need to do the fun stuff for me. And the reason, and I'm not saying that to make you feel bad, is to like one of the things you want to think about is like you've got a story like he's undisciplined. It takes a very disciplined person to stay late at work.
No, this is good. No, this is
And
exactly why I'm hurt. Thank you. Yeah, I
yeah,
get,
and it makes them tired and not have the energy to go to the gym. And so that's just, I think that's what I would. And we can keep working on this, but I think that's where your work is. Like, don't even put pressure on yourself to start having sex. You're not ready for that, but you
Okay.
are ready to figure out. I have decided that when he doesn't look this way, it means these things. He's undisciplined. He can't protect the family anymore. What else do you have in there that's sneaking around?
Yeah, I make a lot of effort in, like, to me it shows love when you make an effort for your spouse, in the way that you look physically, and so that's another thing that I think sometimes is that, I really protect my gym time, and I really like make sure that if things do start to slip, then I get right back in and try to show up to look good for him.
Yeah. And that's because in your mind, looking good for him is an important part of your side of the relationship. In his mind, that's not. In his mind, loving you probably has more to do with being a good father and providing and like I always just like to always think the best way for me to figure out how I want to think about something is to look at how I'm currently thinking about it. And then drop into the, especially when it involves another person. And then I drop in and say, well, I make it mean because I take care of myself that that's showing love. And so that would mean that if he's not taking care of himself, I'm making that mean he's not showing love. Instead, usually the other person, especially when you have a loving relationship, the way they show love is just different than the way we do. Just like my husband is never going to prioritize working out and shit. Now, right now, he is, guarantee you, in 4 weeks, he ain't going to be doing it. He is all black and white. He starts, he does everything. And the second work gets like busy, he prioritizes that immediately. Because in his mind, the way he looks is never going to be near as important as making sure that we have financial stability. It's just never going to outweigh that. And to him, and we've talked about this, one of his love languages is we call him the quiet storm. His love language is actually taking care of things and making sure things are taken care of in the family so that we don't have to ask for them. That has nothing like in his world, physicality would probably be the last thing that would matter. And so when I see it that way, I don't think it means he's not taking care of himself. So therefore, he doesn't have good discipline and he must not love me as much and he doesn't care like I do. Like, I can't have that story anymore because I blew it up. Now I've got to be like, well, if what's really happening is these things, now I just want to sit with that for a while because then it opens up the space for you to also be thinking about what are all of the things that he is doing that could be showing the love and showing the discipline that I thought a gym body would give him or provide. And if that's what you're really looking for, because we're never really looking for the, like, there is some aesthetic stuff. I'm not saying how people look. I mean, there's pretty privilege for a reason. Like, humans have eyeballs and they want things to look a certain way. That's why a lot of people love just hell. I've gone to the grocery store twice because the Publix is brand new and everything's organized. It's a fucking experience. I'm just like, it's like going to Disneyland or something for me. Now, when it gets all jacked, I might not want to go as much. You know, there's a difference between going to, I don't know, like White House Black Market versus Goodwill. You know, because
Yeah.
one place everything looks good and one place it's all jacked up doesn't mean Goodwill ain't great.
Yeah.
So just be thinking about, what is I'm making all of this, and how do I find some space for just a really appreciating him for who he is? And like, if I'm willing to make up a story about the way his body looks means these things, what if I spend more time on making up a story on when he does these things? It really means these amazing things. Now,
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to get you all the way to Desireland and stuff. But I don't think you can even get there until we work on that stuff. Like, I think that's the first, like, first stop on the road to getting there is to be thinking about, all right, I've got to blow up my definitions a little bit.
That's good.
And then just being honest with yourself and just saying there's nothing wrong with wishing that he looked different, but it doesn't mean he's not disciplined. And that doesn't mean that he's not a great provider, and it doesn't mean that he's like whatever else is going on there.
Yeah.
It just means I wish he looked different because that's my aesthetic. And see if that just brings you some peace. And then you can start evaluating, all right, now that all of that is happening, do I want to try to have sex and see if I can have desire for other things? It's like, my poor husband, his ears must be burned. Hopefully he never listens to this replay, but he knows, like, I've had to like really work on what parts of Chris am I going to be attracted to? Because he doesn't look like what I would norm, like what I would just go and pick off a shelf. But my God, he's got so many of the other things. And that has made, like, now I'm just kind of ate up with him.
Yeah.
And the physical just doesn't, I guess it doesn't bother me. But it took a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you.
Well, just
Yeah.
don't also beat yourself up over this. I mean, if nothing else, please don't do that.
Thank you.
Work on anything else. Nobody else wants to work on anything.
Not right now. I think I've got a lot to work on now.
Well, just work on that because I think that will also help solve some of the joy and pleasure
Yeah.
piece. You know, like finding more joy in your marriage instead of only looking at the two things we don't have right now.
Yeah.
It is pleasurable to think about people in different ways. And then, and you said you had to pull back on your exercise. I think this is where, just know, like for binge eaters in particular, I have a friend right now going through this. There is a drop in your dopamine,
Yes.
and you're going to need to find that dopamine in new ways. And so, setting yourself up to say, like, all right, this is a really good opportunity for me to not put all my dopamine basket or dopamine eggs in one basket, which is it's either the gym or I'm miserable. It's like,
Yes.
I really do have to work on other ways now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank
Thank you
you.
for being so vulnerable.
Oh, thank you. All
Yeah. All righty. Bye-bye.
right. Bye.
Where'd my mousey go? There he goes. All right. We got one more person who raised their hand. Let me answer the two questions and I'll grab you real quick, Jocelyn. I'm 10 pounds away from my goal weight. I have hovered at 155 for many months. Need just a few level ups to assist with dropping the first 5 pounds to get started. At first place I always look, Jackie, is there any mindless eating, hanging out, like grabbing a little bit here and there, thinking it won't hurt, The next thing I look at is, do we have any residual habit eating that, I was able to lose this much weight and I was able to eat this way, and I have not really looked at my enough levels. I've not really looked at like leveling up any of my foods in a long time. Can I do any of that? Then the last like part is to look at, are there any emotional eats still going on? And they may not be big and fantastic ones. Like it might not be binging and things like that, but a lot of times emotional eats are just little things. It's like having just a few more bites. It's, because it's like, well, I just don't want it to end and it won't hurt. Like, look for the little things before you change too much. Almost always, those last few pounds, they are hiding in the littlest of things that we think we're getting immense pleasure from. And we think, well, I don't want to, like, I've done so much changing. I don't want to let that go. I would ask myself, why? If I really want to lose the last 5 pounds, why do I think I don't want to let that go? And then do what I was doing on the last call. You question each one and figure out, like, well, what is it doing for me? Because it's also keeping me and from this and keeping me frustrated and trying over here. So why wouldn't I want to let them go? What are they doing for me? And can I get it in other ways? Is it time for me to get those things in other ways? And then the last thing is just like sometimes I'm just gonna tell y'all, you think you want to weigh a certain number and you might not. This may be the best, most comfortable number for you. Because when you really take a look at like the little things that you can kind of do now that you're at this stage, you may be where you're just like, I don't know that I want to do those things. And there's nothing wrong with saying, now that I look at it, I don't know that I even want to do those things. Or here's all the things I think I need to do. I'm going to try one and get really used to it. And then I will keep trying a new one until I'm just like, I either want to do them or I realize I don't, it's not even worth it. I've decided I like this weight more than I like these things I need to do. But I want to caution all of you. Do not think the things you've got to do are going to make you miserable. Most of the time, what's standing between y'all and like 5 to 10 pounds, the last little bit, it's the little bit of emotional eating that we're hanging on to. And the hardest part is not letting that emotional eating go. It is fixing what it's solving, because it's the little bit of emotional shit that you've not wanted to solve yet for some reason. And we fix that. All right. Can you talk about how we can increase desire with our thoughts, not faking it, but actually increasing our desire? Yeah, we just have to think beyond what our knee-jerk reactions are when it comes to desire. Like so often we have it in our head. It's like what our caller was talking about is like you just think about, it's really hard for her to even get desire right now because one, she thinks it's all about the way he looks, and it has nothing to do with that. It is, my lack of desire is because when he doesn't look this way, here are all the things I'm making that mean about him and me. I'm making it mean about him. He's not disciplined. He's this, he's that, and the other. And I'm making it mean about me. I'm shallow. Like she was feeling guilty for it and stuff. She kept trying to make sure that we knew she loved him, which means anytime somebody's trying to convince you that they love someone, they do. But if they're having to convince you energy, it's because they believe what they're fixing to tell you is shameful or wrong. And that's why I kind of worked on this idea of we could not like how somebody looks and still really love them. And that doesn't make us wrong. It just makes us a human. Humans are just that way. We have likes and dislikes, and that doesn't make us a bad person. I don't think you're a bad person for wanting someone to look a certain way unless you are being a narcissist about it, or unless you are being controlling about it, and you're just like, look, dude, you're not getting sex unless, and like when we do shit like that, like just think about it. This is why so many women do end up in divorce, because they have some man that is like, this is the only thing. And then they get really controlling about it, and they do get really douchey about it and stuff. That is not happening here. She's just having honest thoughts and feelings, and she still loves him. So for all of you that are thinking that your husband is sitting there probably blah blah blah, just remember, like, even your husbands cannot like your body and still really love you and still really want you and still adore you and stuff. Because I talk to Chris about my body a lot. And I know y'all all think I look fantastic, and I'm not saying that I don't. But when I am butt fucking naked, there's a lot going on this body. And I know I am my harshest critic, but I ask him all the time, like, there's just no way you're not seeing it. And he's like, I see your loose skin, and I see your scars, and I see the crepiness. I see all of it. He said, it's just not important. And he was like, I remember one day we were talking because we were in Vegas, and of course there was like hotties everywhere at the pool. And he said, yeah, that stuff's nice to look at. And he's like, I'm not gonna lie. And I was like, I'm not gonna lie either. That girl looks really good right now. And I think I'm just at this place where I just realized, that's just human nature. That doesn't mean he's going to cheat on me. It doesn't mean he loves me less. It doesn't mean that he thinks my body's gross. It doesn't mean anything. Like, you can think one thing looks really good, and you can think amazing things about this thing, and they don't have to have anything to do with each other. It's not a problem until we're co-mingling things in such a nasty way that it makes us miserable. So I think when it comes to cultivating desire, is you have to question, first of all, like, what is blocking my desire right now? What thoughts am I having that I know are draining the, fucking swamp over here on my desire? We don't want to do that. And so we want to question all of those thoughts. And then we want to think about, what are all of the thoughts that are actually really good that I naturally have about my partner that I do not actively think that could also be sucking my desire like a leech out of me? Because I mean, the best way I can explain this is like what my relationship with Chris. I legit think about him a lot in down moments. Like, when he falls asleep at night, I almost always lay there, and at some point I just lay there and think about all the things that I love about him. I do it on purpose. And I have done it. Like, I think a lot of people think it just comes automatic with marriage. It does not. This is how people get into loveless marriages. This is how, like, Chris and I always say that we're very fortunate. We don't fight. We have an amazing marriage, and people always say, like, marriage is hard work. Other day we were just laughing. We're like, this is not hard at all. Like, there's nothing about our marriage that's actually really hard. But marriage is intentional. It's an action. Loving someone is an activity. It's not like an inherent thing. And so we talk about that all the time, about how we purposely think nice things about each other. I journal about him at times. I journal about how, like, my gratitude for him. I journal about all the things that I love about him, how blessed I am to have him in my life. I try not to ever, ever miss the little things. If he's doing little things, I don't just thank him. I make sure it lands in my brain, this is an amazing marriage because of this. It's kind of like when we are losing weight. If you are not celebrating your little wins, if you're not recognizing all the ways, and you are maintenance people, it's a lot easier to lose your weight if all the way down the scale, you are noticing your changes. You are pointing out how, like, oh my gosh, I love that you did this for yourself. Like, if you're doing all of that, guess what? You get to the end, man, are you proud of yourself? It's really easy to love yourself. It's easy to have that pride. If you don't do that, We think we're just going to end at the end and just somehow love ourselves. Like all of our inner self-talk is somehow going to switch on a dime and talk in a new way to ourselves. It's like, no, you built the habit of learning how to spotlight yourself, be proud of yourself, understand yourself, never miss milestones, never miss the little things. Like the same happens with a partner. You train yourself to see someone the way you want to see them. So we can train ourselves to see someone in a light we don't want to see, and we can train ourselves to see someone in the light we want to see. Either way, it's a choice. Our brains are wired for problems. Okay? That is for a safety mechanism. So it's our job in the modern age to realize we don't have as many problems as we did 2,000 years ago. Our brains needed us seeing problems all the time. In the modern age, our brains don't need to see the problems all the time. It actually has to now be consciously made to see solutions and what's right and how safe we are and how wonderful things are because it's not looking for it. Unless we are purposely looking for it. And to me, that is the fastest, easiest way to get desire. Now, for some of y'all, there's also the hormones that are coming into play and all that kind of stuff. I do not, I'm going to tell you, as someone who is on HRT, and everybody always asks, 200 milligrams progesterone, I'm taking, I have testosterone cream that I put in the hoo-ha, and I forget how much I do on that. And then, and all of it's always like dependent upon your hormone level. So don't go out and think that you should be doing what I'm doing. And I also do desiccated, I think thyroid is the name of it, or something like that. And I do those things because for a while, my sexual drive was like in the tank. I still loved Chris and stuff. I just didn't want to have sex. And it wasn't because of unattractiveness and stuff. It just felt like I had a really hard time getting the engine going, if you know what I mean. And I was willing to have sex for him. I was very happy to do it, but I wanted to have a good time. And I could have an orgasm, but I wanted to want it again. And so I went and I've got a local person who does all my HRT. And that was like my main concern was I want to want it again. And my thought work was on point. My problem was more of my hormones at that point. But if you can fix your hormones all day long, if your brain isn't cooperating, we got to work on the brain too. Lisa Taylor. Congratulations, Sky. She hit her goal weight. What is the one thing you would say is most important thing that I can think or do at this early moment of maintenance? It's okay if the answer isn't totally specific to me. Just want to hear off the top of your head. The best thing that you can do when you first hit goal weight is to continue to celebrate it. But here's what I would do. First of all, I'd go to the maintenance program because I would take that and make sure you do all the little action sheets and worksheets in there. But the main thing I think is to write out the story of why you'll never regain this weight through the lens of, and I'm serious, through the lens of, here's everything I've learned about me. Here's why I love my new habits. Like, fall in love with that process. Fall in love with everything you do. Show your brain all the evidence as to why it doesn't need to worry about a regain. Like, here's the things I'm going to be doing, and here's blah, blah, blah. That would be the first thing I would do. Speaking of y'all's maintenance course, I have a meeting next week with Coach Lizzie because she and I will be co-writing the new one together, and we will be getting started on it. It will probably take us a few months to get it done, but that's the next background refresh program getting updated because I knew somebody would ask. All right. We'll be coaching on Lisa.
Okay, freaking love the first topic. Thank you so much, Stephanie. But I'm checking out when I eat off plan. And I'm already emotional. I am. I am within my weight maintenance goal, weight gain range. I'm 2 pounds from my low goal. Not hit it yet, but I'm new to maintenance. I've probably been in this range for 2 months, and I'm happy. But
Yeah, you really look it.
I really am. I'm thankful for it.
I'm so happy.
Well,
Why did you get emotional about I'm checking out when I'm eating off plan? What is that about? Because you're making that a big deal if it's
because
bringing
I'm,
you to tears. So what is the big deal about? Why is it such a big deal to you?
if I knew I'd quit it, I don't want the weight back, of course, but I think I'm running away.
How do you know you're running away?
Because I'm not doing discovery worksheets. I'm still losing. Okay, 1 week it'll go up, next week it'll go down.
Let's do this. Why do you not want to do discovery worksheets? What are they going to do to you?
I can justify anything, Corinne.
Right, I know, but here's what I really want to know. What is going on in your brain that's suddenly got like, did you do discovery worksheets on the way down?
Few.
What is your opinion of discovery worksheets? Your honest opinion, not like what you think I want to hear.
Right.
Because it can't be great if you're not using them very often. So tell me like I want to know the real scoop.
It's like it's not asking me the right question to get to why I'm doing this thing.
Okay, so don't use them if it's not asking you the right question. What would be the right question to get to the root of your thing?
What's funny is that right now I don't remember what all's on the discovery worksheet, but
So it could be you don't know because you haven't done enough of them. So that's one thing.
yes.
Okay. And it could be that you haven't had enough experience with them for your brain to be able to get deep enough in the beginning. Eventually it could.
You were saying something.
Go ahead.
You were saying something earlier, might have been on the prior call, about don't just ice skate through the, cookie cutter answer, the discovery worksheet. And yes, that's true. What do you need to do next time? Stop and breathe and think about it. Well, what else? I guess I'm not thinking deep enough. I'm avoiding the answers. Am I
Well,
afraid of what I'm going to find?
anytime somebody asks me things like avoiding the answers, afraid of what I'm going to find, I usually don't think that's the problem. Because nothing, it feels like you're grasping for answers that you've heard other people give you here instead of what is going on for you. Just sounds like to me that. So far, when you've done a discovery worksheet, it hasn't felt like you found like the aha
Right.
or the thing, right? And most of the time on discovery worksheets, it takes doing them for a while before your defense is lower enough for you to actually vomit something out that you didn't even know you were thinking.
Okay.
Okay, so there's that. Now, I want to ask you this though. What do you wish the discovery worksheets were asking? That you think if I had questions more like this, maybe I would get better insights.
I don't even know if this is on there, but How did
I
I
don't need them,
feel?
to be honest. I don't do them anymore. I don't need them. I can figure out what's
In your
going on for
head.
me in my head, so I don't use them.
I think I'm there in my head, but I know I'm not.
I don't know, maybe you are. I mean, this is what's interesting. It's like for all of you, y'all put so much fucking pressure on everything, as if every tool I throw out there, you're supposed to be using them, and they're supposed to be this, supposed to be that. It's like, I don't use them because I can plan in my head. I don't use, or I can figure it out in my head now. Because, but I've done a lot of writing about overeats over the years. Now it's just a skill I've got in my brain, but it took a lot of, doing it. What if you just, let me ask you this. Let's say you were never going to do a discovery worksheet again, but every off plan E, you were going straight to ask coaches and telling them about it every time. Now what comes up for you?
Why did you, what were you feeling when you were doing it? What spurred it? How do you feel afterwards?
Okay, a lot of that is on the discovery worksheet.
And I figured.
Okay, but I think you're answering my other question. Let me ask you this. Let's say we're not going to do the discovery worksheets at all, and you're just now going to keep having off plan eats, and you're going to go to ask coaches instead, and you're going to say, I ate off plan again, and I think this might be like, I think this is why. Or, I have no clue as to why I'm doing it. I need help. And you were just going to use that instead of discovery worksheets. Now, what comes up for you when I say you got to do that for the next 6 months?
I've got to quit eating off plan.
Why?
I mean, I love that Ask Coaches is there for me, but either that or I need to adjust my plan.
Why? I don't understand. This is what I don't understand. I think you're trying to avoid figuring, but there was, I'm just going to tell you my opinion. You came
Yes.
on, you tell me about the off plan, you immediately start choking up. You want to cry because, like, you said, I'm eating off plan and I'm checking out, and that made you emotional. And then I'm like, all right, well, here's the easiest way to check back in. Do not do a discovery worksheet. Now we're going to go check in with the coaches.
Right.
We're going to take off checking out off the table. And your first thing was like, well, I got to like plan differently. And I got to quit the overeats. And my question was more of, I know you're going to keep overeating because we haven't figured out why you're overeating yet. You're eating off plan for reasons. And you're just trying to plan different instead of figuring out what's going on with me. It's making me ditch my plans. And I'm giving you the help, and you're just like, no. So it ain't the discovery worksheet. It's not the ask coaches. It's something that's going on in you that has something's upsetting you about you checking out on eating off plan, or something's upsetting you about eating off plan. And that is making you check out so you don't have to think about what you're making that mean. So let's start with the latter. What do you make it mean about you that at this stage of your weight loss and maintenance that you are eating off plan now?
That I'm failing.
And exactly how are you failing? Tell me all the evidence you have that this is failing.
Because I want to eat on plan, I want to be successful when I eat off plan. And it's unfortunately, when I eat off plan, it's usually binging sugar. Like this morning, I was angry with myself and so I ate a bunch of milk duds. Really? But
Why were you angry with yourself?
excuse me. I have a Bluetooth speaker in our bedroom. And I forgot to turn it off this morning when I got up. And I'm out there cruising scrolling Facebook. My husband sleeps later than I do. Well, I didn't know it, but the speaker was still on. I hear him get up, rip the cord out of my speaker. He's pissed.
Yeah.
I understand. And I said, I'm sorry, I forgot to turn off my speaker this morning. And I continue beating myself up over it.
Okay.
And it took me a while to realize I'm beating myself up over it, even though I'd said I was sorry. And if he's still angry, that's his choice. But I was still disappointed in myself that
Yeah.
I screwed up.
And that is why you're not wanting to, like, literally, you just solved why you ate this morning.
Yeah.
So the only thing you've got to, Lisa, you've got to get better at is how do I, like, it's not the only thing, but it's the one thing that you just showed through one, I asked you one question, like, why did you do that this morning? Why were you upset with yourself? I mean, you came up with it all by yourself.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's very clear. I was beating myself up. So really, the only thing you've got to learn from this is I don't need to do any more discovery worksheets. I don't need to make this a big fucking deal that I'm eating off plan. The big deal is I'm beating myself up for things. So my inner critic talk, we need to go to boot camp on how to talk better to ourselves and how to catch ourselves when we are in the spiral of beating ourselves up and to get really comfortable with the language of it. So I know when it's happening in real time, where it's not just happening. Because a lot of times we're beating ourselves up, we don't know it's happening. We just feel bad. But like we're not sitting there going like, here's that moment where I'm beating myself up. We're just like, you're stupid. You shouldn't do that. You fucked up. Why? And it's not even occurring to you that you're beating yourself up. You think your brain is just telling you the facts of the day. Lisa's just bad. Or Lisa's just this. Like whatever your brain was assaulting you with in the moment, we just believe it. We're not thinking that it's actually something like, oh, this is that part of me that speaks up when I feel like I've let someone down or angered someone. Or this is the part of me that's like, if, you know, like a lot of times this is that inner part work where at some point in life you probably learned to be hard on yourself. And if you were hard on yourself, it either got you achievement or it kept you quiet so that somebody else wouldn't get upset or, you know, whatever. It's like a learned pattern. But if you just start discovering this, guess what? Now we start to get to the heart of the matter of really healing ourselves. So your off-plan eats are not, you're a failure at weight loss. Your off-plan eats are now showing you like, oh, I'm hitting my next level work, figuring out how to calm my inner critic so that they don't feel like they have to speak up in order to keep everyone happy.
Okay.
So this has
I've
nothing to do with your discovery worksheets. This has more to do with I'm checking out because I'm making my off-plan eats mean I'm a failure instead of making my off-plan eats mean it's signaling something that's going on inside of me. And right now I'm healing it with sugar. I'm trying to heal my inner critic with sugar. And that's not a bad thing. I just didn't realize it. And now I want to realize when the inner critic is speaking up, I want to heal her by talking with her and reassuring her. And then if we can't come to some peace, I can go get some sugar. I know I can always go eat, but I'm gonna try these other things first. And then that becomes the beauty of like discovery worksheets and things like that. Now, if y'all feel like you're doing discovery worksheets and you're not getting anywhere, you go to ask coaches. And they will walk you through these things. You do not have to only do discovery worksheets. Some people, those sheets, they're in a place where they make sense and work. Sometimes, though, we have such a hot fucking problem that we're not going to be able to see it without somebody else looking at our brain. It has taken me years to get to the point to where there's a lot of my own coaching I can do for myself, but I still have a coach I meet with every week because there are certain things I will never coach myself on. I will not be able to do it because I will be too emotional and everything I'm thinking feels like I'm just trying to tell you the truth of what's happening. And she's always like, well, hey, let's pull this apart. I don't know if this is the truth. It just feels really true to you. So I would just, I think for now, what I would do is I would go to ask coaches for each of your off-plan eats with the idea of this is what's going to help me feel better. My off-plan eats aren't a bad thing. They're really showing me these little areas of my life that I can really repair now.
I think that's where I'm at is I want to, I'm at that point of personally growing, working through my emotional eats. I started the self-love course that was recommended to me, and I get stuck in places, so I'll reach out to ask coaches and say, okay, I'm stuck here, help me.
Yeah,
So,
definitely.
and I think starting my journaling again is going to be very helpful too.
Yeah. And just do it with the idea of whether it's journaling and off-plan eat, going to ask coaches, all of it is because you're just trying to make sense of what's going on inside of you. You know, everything that happens inside of us happens for really good reasons. It's almost always going to trace back to something inside of us in that moment thought, this is the best, quickest, and safest answer. So, milk duds, it is. You know, like you upset your husband, you were wrong. And because your brain is trained to be like, when somebody else is upset, to over index that this is your fault. Like, it is your fault you didn't unplug the speaker, but it's not because you're malicious, dumb, not caring. Like, whatever it is your brain said about you. It's like, no, it's because I'm human. I forgot. And of course he's upset. He was sound asleep, suddenly listening to some Facebook bullshit that I'm listening to. Like, all of this makes sense, you know? Like, okay. And that is the beauty of getting coached because I can look at it and tell you the story. And now you're like laughing and going, like, oh yeah, that is what happened. But when you're in it and you're trying to look at it yourself, you're just like, no, I'm gonna fuck up and I'm gonna regain all my weight. And this is, I'm going back to binging. That is what's happening. And our brain loves to overreact because it thinks it's gonna keep you safe. It's like, if I turn up the scare factor on her, she'll get her shit together and she won't try to regain weight or whatever. And it's like, we can do this a lot simpler. Okay, so you're gonna use Ask Coaches.
I am.
And it will be very helpful.
Yes, they are. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Some of the things I'm working on next year for all of you, we're going to have some different things happening in content land. So we have a, like a really good, robust, I feel like catalog of stopping at enough, like a lot of those things. We have plenty of trainings on. I want to start getting into, though, a little bit more of like Kathy and I were talking this morning about some like if in the beginning stages, just kind of combining up a lot of our nervous system stuff that we do have and putting it in one place for people to look at. And then Kathy and I are going to work on a course that is like the like just a foundational course on how do you work with your body? And because it's such an important thing. And I want to work on one that is like we have the journaling camp, but now that I've kind of been around y'all a long time, like just really, how do you get more traction out of your journaling? How do you like solve more of these things? There's a lot of things I want to work on this year that has a lot more to do with this root causal stuff. So that, you know, we have really good stuff around emotional eating. We have a really good stuff around the basics and all of that, those things, but it's the junk underneath the junk. You know what I mean? It's like we had yesterday in the organization class. A lot of us on the outside, we have a really clean house. But if you pull open our brain, it looks like that fucking junk drawer she dumped out on the desk. It's like littered with shit. And we need to pull that stuff out, sort it, and then decide what goes back in and know that it's going to get like untidy again and again and again, because that is the nature of the way things are. Our brains are just like our home space. If you never, like, you can do a deep cleaning on your house, and if you don't do it again for a year, your house is going to look like shit in a year. So there's like continual reorganization and things like that. And I want to work on that this year too. I want to do some of this work. I think it's really important for women to have more than just, and not that we don't have these things, but I've just grown so much in all this, and I want to be able to give it to all of you. And I just think it will make everybody not only be able to lose their weight easier, keep your weight off easier, but also just fulfill the promise of having a truly better life. And not just because you lost weight, but because we really did work on your life. So just a little preview for next year, things that I'm thinking about. So, all right, y'all have a good one. I will see y'all next month. Bye, y'all.